Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beltway blitzing on Grant and Danny as we do every day at noon. We'll focus on the Nats in this Beltway blitz. There are a couple lines open for you at 800-636-1067. We'll be getting back to your calls on their World Series appearance after last night's NLCS sweep of the Cardinals. Patrick Corbin striking out 10 in the first four innings. Ran out of a little bit of gas after that, but punched out 12, and then the bullpen took over for four innings of stellar relief to keep a three-run lead. Let's get to, well, what else? The baseball team. How about Pete Medhurst comes on the show? He called Nationals baseball games with Charlie Slows this year. Some would say he was a bit of a good luck charm for this team. Pete, what do you make of how easily they manhandled the Cardinals in the LCS?
Well, Grant, you go out in the offseason and you take the money that originally was allocated for Bryce Harper, who chose not to take it, and then you reallocate those funds. And Ryan Zimmerman said it best this week. He said, not many teams build the way the Nationals do through elite starting pitching. That's why you go get Patrick Corbin so he can strike out 12 through five innings in a game that can send you to the World Series. That's why you invest in Max Scherzer. That's why you invest in Steven Strasburg. You look at last year's year by Anibal Sanchez and say, okay, we think that guy can come here and do that. So you build elite starting pitching, and if the other team doesn't score, Grant, even though that run production you may miss with Bryce Harper a little bit, you've now negated that run differential by having elite starting pitching.
Pete, take this wherever you want to go with it. Who's the most important player on the Nationals for this team to win a World Series?
Quite frankly, I mean, it's hard because of the way the team is built. It is hard to just say one, but I'm going to go with Trey Turner because offensively, when he gets going at the top of the lineup, it's you, Danny, you pointed it out in our keys to the game last night. It had to be him because in that first inning, he got two hits. He had the hit to start the inning, and then he had a two-run hit to conclude that rally. So in terms of the offense maximizing its potential, I believe Trey Turner has to be that guy because, Danny, when he gets on base, he just causes so much trouble and consternation for the opponents. The pitcher, he's worried about holding him on instead of making good pitchers to batters. The defense has to be worried about being on the move if Turner moves and things of that nature. So when Trey Turner goes to the top of that lineup, that's when they go from a two- or three-run offense to a five-, six-, or seven-run offense like we saw last night.
Pete, you mentioned the starting pitching, and the stars finally aligned. Strasburg, excellent. Scherzer, nasty. Anibal Sanchez, marvelous. Patrick Corbin, dominant. It's hard not to win when you're getting the starting pitching this team did. Just never came together before this, but it feels to me like this is kind of the first playoff where blueprint and plan from Rizzo came to fruition.
Well, I mean, Grant, there's no doubt about that. And I mean, look, I mean, there are times in the past where that blueprint, Grant, was even good up to the eighth or ninth inning of the last game that would have had them a chance to move on, and then it fell apart for them. So they've been close, and Ryan Zimmerman talked about it yesterday about just how hard it is to win because in the playoffs, you're playing other elite teams. So if you make the smallest mistake by not turning an inning-ending double play, by walking a player, you know, those types of mistakes hurt against elite teams. Except when you're playing bottom-of-the-barrel teams, sometimes you can get away with that. You're not going to do that in the playoffs when you're playing the best of the best. You make those mistakes, elite teams make you pay for them. And right now, it's the Nationals who have been making teams pay for their elite mistakes, especially the defensive mistakes by the Cardinals last night. Stuck out like a sore thumb in that first inning. I mean, that thing exploded on Dakota Hudson, and I think Mike Schilt even said to him when he pulled him, he goes, hey, Hoss, that's my fault. I put somebody in right field that probably shouldn't have been there. The guy dropped the ball at second base. That's not your fault. You deserved a much better fate.
Pete, awesome job last night. We'll be doing it again soon, I am sure. Get some rest, my friend.
Thank you, pal. See you.
We'll see you, man. Redskins, please, Tommy. Chris Russell to talk about the Redskins. But first, Slasherini, got to get your opinion. I know you were taking calls into the wee hours last night on the Nationals going to the World Series. Just give me your impression, your thoughts, your big picture here.
Well, I mean, obviously, what else can I say besides what you guys have added? I mean, I would just say this, the starting pitching, which I would, you know, I'm more of a build a team as opposed to one dominant unit. I'm wrong. The starting pitching kicked ass in every which way. I was a little surprised that Davey was as patient with Corbin in the fifth inning last night as he was, but he once again got rewarded for that faith. And again, Corbin was great from the start, as was Strasburg, Scherzer, and Anibal Sanchez. And that's the one reason why I think moving forward, if the Astros are the opponent, they can go toe-to-toe with the Astros because they can more than match their great starting pitching. And I know they can be really good against that Yankee lineup if the Yankees are the matchup.
The 7 days off petrifies me, though. I mean, that really has killed a lot of hot teams. Now, I didn't think they'd beat the Dodgers. I didn't think they'd sweep the Cardinals. I wasn't sure they'd come back down late against the Brewers. And at 19-31, I certainly wasn't confident they'd make the playoffs.
Right.
So who really cares what I think? But it does seem like this will be another mountain they've got to climb and maybe even push a boulder up.
Yeah, well, first of all, I do. I care what you think, Grant. If there's one human being alive on planet Earth that does, it's me. I am the president of the Grant Paulson Fan Club. And I like Danny Rurrier, too. I think nothing really bothers this team. Do you guys think going into Minute Maid Park, if that's the matchup, and going against Verlander and a filthy Garrett Cole and Zach Greinke, do you think that necessarily scares this team? No, hell no. I don't know if they win. I'll hold off. I don't think it scares them in any way, and I would give them a more than fighter's chance of winning that series. And again, I know they can go toe-to-toe with the New York Yankees. And whatever hills you've got to climb, whatever mountains you've got to climb, as long as you don't die on them like I've perfected in my radio career, I think the Nationals are going to be okay. And even if they come up short, it's still a season to remember forever. And it's changed that, not the culture, but it's changed history. And it's changed that baseball legacy, if you will, generational legacy handed down here in Washington by what this team has done this year.
I think that's well said. Russell, let's squeeze in a Redskins question. There was a rumor from some guy in Cleveland from some outlet. I really don't know what it was, where it came from, about a Trent Williams trade. Of course, the Redskins, specifically maybe Bruce and whomever, denied any such thing exists. Everybody wants it to be a rumor because it makes a lot of sense. The Redskins denying it, of course, I guess makes sense too until it's a done deal. But is there any chance that somebody comes to their senses and trades Trent Williams?
Well, I think there's still a chance. Remember, we still have, a week and a half, 2 weeks before the trade deadline. But I think they're holding out for even more leverage and more teams to lose starting left tackles, teams that are on the periphery of the playoff chase. It's interesting because the team coming in here this week desperately needs a left tackle, at least short term, and yet they won't do that deal. I think we all know that. We've heard about the Cleveland Browns. That makes the most sense. The thing I was told last night was no, just like everyone else. But that doesn't mean no is forever, and that doesn't mean that Bruce can't single-handedly, and Dan, for that matter, single-handedly change their mind. So I would never rule anything out. I don't think anything is imminent. I was told the price should still be, according to somebody I spoke to this morning, that the Redskins should be still asking for and maybe getting, depending on severity of need, a first and a second round pick. And if you get that offer, you absolutely have to take that to the bank and run with it, make that trade.
There's Chris Russell, and that is our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. The NLCS is in the rearview mirror, thanks to Howie Kendrick driving in four runs, Victor Robles hitting .375, Anthony Rendon hitting .417, and excellent starting pitching. The Nationals are headed to the World Series. There's something funny happening here. Steven Strasburg, 7 innings, no earnings, 12 strikeouts. Max Scherzer, 7 innings, no runs, 11 Ks. Patrick Corbin, 5 1/3, 12 punchies. You may remember Anibal Sanchez took a no-hitter into the 8th inning. The next stop on this magical ride, Houston or New York for Game 1 on Tuesday. What do you guys make of this Nats run, and how did they do it? Next on Grant and Danny. Last night, it took about 15 minutes from the start of the game for Nationals fans to feel like it was happening. There was no build-up to the ninth inning, no climax. There was no concern or worry or trepidation or hesitation for hours on end. There was basically one tight spot in the ballgame all night, and that was the eighth inning when the Cardinals had scratched back into the contest. It was 7-4. They'd loaded the bases. They had the tying run on, and Daniel Hudson got a big ground ball out in the infield. And then as soon as that inning ended with a three-run lead and they're three outs away, it was almost like that was the only chance the Cardinals were going to have. But that first inning heard round D.C. will not be forgotten for a long, long time.
It was unbelievable.
In a clinch scenario. It started, remember, so Elena Deledon throws out the first pitch.
Uh-huh.
She threw basically a strike. And she goes out the home plate, launches the ball in. That's not easy to do. You've done it. I've done it. She's an all-world athlete. She crushes it. People are very happy and going nuts. Championship vibe in the ballpark. Tommy Edman strikes out swinging on four pitches.
Who was that? What lefty was that? Pitching up in the zone, throwing 96 at the top of it, striking three people out?
That was crazy.
It wasn't on sliders biting in the dirt. It was fastballs elevated. I'm going, oh, my God.
Jose Martinez strikes out swinging on three pitches. Terrible at bat. And after seven pitches, Patrick Corbin had punched out two. And Nats Park was on its feet, and 40,000 people were absolutely beside themselves. Four pitches later, Paul Goldschmidt, who struck out in seven straight at-bats at one point in this series, he was horrendous in this LCS.
He was terrible.
That's the guy you worry about beating you. That's the guy coming in who was red hot, who you knew was going to come up with big hits and bury you time and time again. He couldn't even make contact. He was a walking strikeout. He punches out three batters, three swinging strikeouts, a total of 11 pitches from Patrick Corbin. And the Nats' bats were up to the plate. Turner right away, 2-0 count, base hit. Adam Eaton, first pitch swinging, doubles. And boys and girls, we are off and running. Second and third, nobody out. Heart of the order for Anthony Rendon. Sacrifice fly makes it 1-0. Juan Soto doubles, makes it 2-0. Dakota Hudson wants nothing to do with Howie Kendrick. No problem. Put him at first base for Ryan Zimmerman. Fielder's choice, it should have been a ground ball out. And this is one of those plays last night. There were two of them in the first inning. We've seen them all series. In years past, they don't happen. The Nats don't get breaks. Like the Capitals when they won the Cup, all of a sudden, fortuitous beneficial bounces, one after another. Zimmerman grounds out on a hot shot to third base.
Could have been a bases-clearing double, too.
Probably
really good play by Edman. Really good play.
Edman made maybe three or four stunning defensive plays last night.
Agreed. Catch against the fence or the whatever the netting you want to call it. Another line drive he speared.
Yep.
Really good play right there.
That guy played right field a lot in this series.
Yeah, he's
like 5'7". I mean, he's awesome. He'll be good for a long time. But he gets a ground ball, throws it to second for what should have been a 5-4 putout. And Colton Wong, who's a gold glove second baseman, outstanding player, maybe even the best second baseman defensively in baseball, drops the ball point blank. Just dropped it. So now you've got, after the fielding error, Victor Robles coming up with traffic all over the joint and a 2-0 lead. Robles singles, makes it 3-0. Yan Gomes in the lineup to catch Patrick Corbin, delivers a ground ball to score two more runs. 5-run crooked inning for the Nats. The game had just started. Some dude in section 317 hadn't even gotten through the hot dog line yet. People were still walking in to their seats, and they look up and they see a 5 spot.
Amazing.
Mound visit with Dakota Hudson. They decide they're taking him out of the ballgame right then and there. Adam Wainwright comes on. Patrick Corbin sack bunt. By the way, the sack bunts by the pitchers in this series, awesome.
All of a sudden, they're getting it done. I love it.
Trey Turner, second hit of the inning. How about two RBI for your leadoff batter in the first inning of a game?
2-for-2 with two ribbies in the first inning for Trey Turner. Good.
7-0 Washington before Eaton hit a rocket line out and the inning ended. 7-0. At that point, the Cardinals had struck out three times on 11 pitches, and the Nationals had sent 10 guys to the plate. Matter of fact, 11 guys to the plate and scored 7 runs. In the end, it ended up being a lot closer than maybe we thought at the time because that was the end of their offense. But their bullpen was so good, it didn't matter. And now you're on to the World Series.
World Series.
Matt is in the city today. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Good, buddy.
I'm doing great. We're like Virginia. Virginia's doing great.
Virginia's doing great.
Anyway, I was just calling because, Grant, you were talking earlier about how you weren't nervous towards the end. And a couple of my friends, when I can't remember the inning, you know, it was late night last night. I can't remember the inning, but when I think it was when Huddy had bases loaded or first and second or second and third or whatever it was. And my friends were like, oh, my God, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? And I just had this feeling like it's going to be okay. And as I kept talking, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And I just remember back to 2012, not to bring up bad times, but I had that same feeling watching them the whole year of that 2012 team because they never got out of a game in the regular season. And then, unfortunately, what happened, the playoffs happened. But this team obviously was able to come back from being down from negative situations just like that 2012 team, but they exercised those demons, especially those Cardinals who I've hated since 2012. So I'm so glad. This is like the greatest day sports-wise that I can remember in a long time. I love the Capitals, but I'm much more of a Nats fan, and so I'm ready for the World Series.
Happy
I'm just excited.
Dude.
Good
happy
for you, man.
Seriously, I love it.
Yeah, I think you get a lot of people who love the Capitals in this town, and the Caps were it was a cool thing because you had tens of thousands of people at the parade, and you had the parties on F Street all the way down the block outside of Capital One Arena. It was amazing. It really was. But hockey, and it's hard for me to say this as someone who loves the Capitals, it is still something of a niche sport. I mean, there is a collection of people who went to that parade or that were in the arena the night that they clinched at the watch party who don't know all the rules. It's not something you grow up playing necessarily, a lot of us here. Baseball is different. Most of us played
it's
Little
ubiquitous,
League.
It's ubiquitous, yeah.
Most of us played, if you're a girl, you didn't play Little League, you played softball. Like, it's something that's kind of in all of our blood. So I think this would be bigger. I think there would be more people at watch parties and more people on the streets. Not to compare, that both are amazing. But I get it. I get the excitement level. Ken in Alexandria, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I want to say I'm like a close to 70-year-old, and I went to my first games at Griffith Stadium as a kid. So anyway, I'm feeling it.
Wow, good for you.
I just had a small thought.
Where did our guy go? If he calls back, let me know.
It was such a small thought that it wasn't even worth saying.
No, but he was on hold for a while, so I want to make sure he gets to say whatever he wants here. So if he calls back, let me know. Bill in North Carolina, how are you?
Hey, real good. Thanks, guys. Hey, I'm one of the old buzzards who grew up with baseball cards. Every time I'd save up a dime, I'd go down and get a couple packs and, of course, go into the dentist after eating the bubble gum and get six cavities at a time. So baseball's a beautiful game that way. It's something us old guys grew up with. But be that as it may, I'm the guy who sat there dumbfounded at that last Senators game and watched the fans bum rush the yard and tear up the stadium and all the rest of it. It sat there looking at what looked like Dante's ninth circle. It was just bizarre for a young kid. And, you get bad memories like that. And then you morph from that to being up on the Cardinals 6-0 and I'll go to my grave thinking that home plate umpire wasn't going to end that game on a punch out. I'll always feel sorry for Drew Storen in that series. But and then he goes from that to seeing Baez swing around and knock Matt Wieters mask cockeyed, and I'm yelling at the TV, protest the game, Dusty. just stand there like a statue and don't move. Protest, put the game under protest. But all that it's been beautifully washed away. I think if they lost to Milwaukee, it would have been damaging to the franchise. Not much, but I think in a more than subtle way, because it would have been a tough thing to sell after all the disappointment and one more loaded on. So for an old coot like me, it's just a beautiful thing. It's just a wonderful thing to watch. And, whatever happens, I'm just going to absorb it. And, worry about next year with Madden out on the West Coast. Guess who he's looking at pitcher-wise. So, you take it, you love it. You think of all the memories, and you just think this is just—it's just gorgeous. It's just a wonderful thing, and it's—I'm so happy for DC, and so happy for the old baseball guys like me. It's just and the Phil Woods of the world, and you guys—it's just—it's just terrific for everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, it really is, and it's well said. Appreciate you. We're skewing older today, it sounds like, but today is in a lot of ways about some of our listeners.
I really think it is, man.
Some of them are new. Some of them probably don't listen every day. I don't know if they're in on What Are You Eating from a year or so ago. But if you loved D.C. baseball at any point, and for some people that was taken away from you, a lot of us like me and you, we don't remember that. There are plenty of people who do.
I heard stories, man.
Awesome for them. Grant and Danny on the Fan, there is a D.C. team hosting a World Series game next week for the first time since 1933.
The Washington Nationals are in the World Series for the first time in franchise history. Louisville Slugger has been making bats since 1884, and BigTimeBats.com is releasing this Nationals World Series two-tone bat. The full-size bat has the team colors with a red barrel and blue handle and has the World Series and Nationals Curly W logos with the NL Champions logo laser engraved on the bat. The full-size bat is limited to 5,000 individually numbered bats and sells for $129.95 plus shipping. Also available is the World Series team signature bat with the facsimile signatures of the players and the World Series and NL Championship logos. Both bats can be purchased in a stunning two-bat set. Go to BigTimeBats.com now to order or call 866-280-BATS. That's 866-280-BATS for this historic Nationals first playoff series win. Bat. Trademarks and logos used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But I think more importantly, we took advantage of those breaks. So kind of made our own luck, I guess, if that's what you how you want to put it.
Ryan Zimmerman played in 1,689 regular season games with the Nationals before he ever got to do what he did last night, and that was hug his family on the field as a National League champion. I was ready to walk out on the field right at the end of the game, and they had his entire family coming out right at the end of the contest. We all kind of stepped to the side, and his mother, who, of course, has been dealing with MS.
Yeah, for many years.
And his entire family came right past us out onto the field. They had a roped-off section. I thought this was really cool. Anibal Sanchez a few days ago said, the reason I was drawn to Washington with the Nationals was that this is a family atmosphere. They sold me on family, not just team. He said, this is the closest-knit team I've ever been a part of. This is the tightest collection of players I've ever been a part of in my life. And he's been in the major leagues, Anibal Sanchez, for 14 years. His first season in Washington. He's pitched in 340 games. He's 35 years old. Bunch of organizations. He's been to the World Series before back in 2012. Didn't win it. He'll get another crack at it 7 years later. But I thought it was really, really cool that they had this entire roped-off section in the infield last night, right after the game ended. All the families came out, and guys were able to hug and take pictures with their moms, their dads, their wives, their kids. And you actually did have a bunch of kids that are old enough to remember this because there's so many old players on this team.
I know.
Like, Howie Kendrick's kids are in middle school taking ground balls before the game. You know, it's not like it's a bunch of toddlers running around that'll never have this memory.
We have no file on it. You're right. I mean, you think of these guys, it's obviously they're kids, right? There's some super young guys on the roster. I don't just mean kids. But the 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, they're obviously too young to have kids like this. But these are men. You got guys 34, 35, 36 years old. They've got families. They've got lives. They've got things that are established, right? And giving those memories to families. I mean, the Nationals have done a really good job, as I understand it, just anecdotally from talking to players and some of the wives and the like of, hey, your families get to come on the road. Your families are there when we're on the 10-game road trip. So is your wife and your kids, if it makes you feel comfortable. If having those folks around so you don't miss that time. The old stereotype of the baseball player, it's, well, I'm home for 3 months, then it's off to spring training, and I'll kiss you goodbye and see you in 10 months. Maybe if I swing through the town we happen to live in. That's kind of not the way it is anymore. A lot of the guys have settled here. I mean, think of, Ryan Zimmerman, D.C.'s home. Max Scherzer has made D.C. home. Steven Strasburg has made it home, right? He stayed here this offseason instead of going back out to California and worked as relentlessly as he ever has in his career. And look at the results. No injuries to speak of, and he has had a dominant season and a tenfold dominant postseason. It's been a really, really cool thing to watch this group grow old and do something they haven't done before.
The Nationals chase for the World Series. And a Red October's on the fan presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland or online at PVI.com today. Clap it up for Victor Robles.
Attaboy!
22 years old, the Dominican Republic product, signed at 16 years old. You go back to when you're getting your driver's license. There's a scout in the DR who sees Victor Robles and says, I see some power potential and some speed. This is an athlete. I remember talking to one of the Nats player development folks this year, and I said, when he was starting the season in the big leagues, what kind of power potential are we talking about? They said, we think he could get upwards of 20 home runs in a season. It's going to take a few years, but when he fills out, how about he hits 17 this year, missing probably about 100 at-bats or so that he'll get in the future? He is a 20-homer player already, hit one in this series. His mom saw him play for the first time in game three of this NLCS. And Robles hits a bomb, comes around and steps on home plate and takes off his cap to his mom. I mean, if that doesn't give you feels, I don't know what does.
So cool.
Let's go to David in College Park on the fan. Nats fans all day long, you've been bringing your A game. You're pumped and we get it. When someone hangs up, there's a line open for you. That's the way this is working. How are you, David?
I'm doing great, and it was worth waiting for the phone call after they won last night. So I thought a comment and an answer to the question about why not previous years, that's a little bit technical, and then also something interesting. So the first thing is I thought the MVP award should have gone to the starters because they just really eviscerated. Four ways. We got four starters. You know, one of the things that struck me was after game three, I looked at the box score for St. Louis. There were five starters that were batting .000, had yet to get a hit after three games. I mean, it's like the guys in the field said, we've been living off them all year.
Utter dominance. Utter dominance in this series.
Yeah. And we've seen moments of it, right? Always during the year of each one of those four guys. And I thought it was funny because I was texting one of my friends and he said, well, gee, you're going to go into this series with three starters. And I said, no, we're going to start with fourth guy because he's been 12-2 for his last 18 starts. Why would you not start Sanchez? I mean, like that. About the other thing about why not previous years, because one observation I could think of was, you know, a lot of times we didn't have the same pitching staff. Like, 1 year Strauss was hurt, another year Max was tired. So we were lucky if we had two good starters for some of these series.
That's a good point. And this Next is buddy. A testament to Mike Rizzo in this front office. They have had Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer as a tandem for postseason runs past 16 and 17. What they never had, though, was a third guy behind them. Having two horses is fun and cute and necessary. If you want to make a World Series run, look at the Houston Astros, that's built on starting pitching, you need that third guy.
And it doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer, but somebody steps up and gets hot, right? It's a guy that punches above his weight class. Think of Nathan Eovaldi last year with the Red Sox.
Right.
That is a jag. He's the jaggiest jag that ever jagged. All of a sudden, he's pitching out of his mind.
So what did Rizzo do? Well, he decided, we'll take the money we're not spending on Bryce Harper, and we'll give $140 million to Patrick Corbin to come over from Arizona. So after, if Max were to throw a game one and Strauss were to go game two, if you're split 1-1, that game three all of a sudden is the swing game of the series. We still got a number one type starting pitcher going. And the way that this works is, and we saw this in this LCS, you have to go so deep sometimes in these division series. Took five games and Strasburg had to be burned in game five and Max had to pitch in relief and Strauss had to pitch in relief that you can't always line up your rotation. Now, the benefit to having a week off before the World Series, which is more of a detriment than a help, is that you can now rest your pitchers and you can line up Scherzer for game one, Strasburg for game two, Corbin for game three, Anibal game four. But you look at the LCS, Anibal Sanchez had to start game four.
Just because of the timing, yeah.
Excuse me, game one as your fourth starter.
Right, right.
He pitches game one. Your fourth starter is normally Tanner Roark. Your fourth starter in the past has been Edwin Jackson. This year, it's a guy who, since the first 5 weeks of the season, has been one of the better pitchers in the National League. And because you spent $140 million on Corbin, in game four, your closeout arm, your third starter, is actually an all-star. It's actually a guy who struck out 238 batters, was maybe the toughest lefty to hit in all of baseball and was the hardest pitcher to hit for lefties this season. But the caller points out, Paul Goldschmidt, 1 of 16, 9 strikeouts. Marcell Ozuna, 3 of 16, 8 strikeouts in this series.
And those two guys, by the way, both hit over 400 against the Braves and carried the Cardinals to that series.
Dexter Fowler, 0 for 11, 6 strikeouts. Yadi Molina, 2 for 12. Nobody in the Cardinals lineup hit. Now, you can say, oh, they got cold. That's awful offense. You know who gets paid a lot of money? The Nats pitching staff.
That's right.
It was good pitching. It wasn't bad hitting. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan, celebrating the Nationals' first ever trip to the World Series.
The big thing is they bought in. I've asked them to do these things, and they didn't hesitate to say, hey, whatever you need from me, you know, I'll do the best I can. I'll do it, you know, and that's the big part of it is that, you know, they bought in and they were ready to go, and they knew what the moment was like, and they stayed in it.
The Nationals 25-man roster that won the league championship series going away dominated the Cardinals, never trailed one time, maybe 4 high leverage innings the entire 4-game series. 7 homegrown players, including 5 drafted. Anthony Rendon, 6th overall. Ryan Zimmerman, 4th overall. Michael A. Taylor, 6th round. Steven Strasburg, 1st overall. And then Austin Voth was a nice little project turned into a helpful piece this year.
Some meaningful innings from him. They needed some of those. Remember, when Max Scherzer was out, we went, okay, this may be the thing that finally slows this train down, right? Not having Max and, you know, dealing with some injury. The bullpen's going to get exposed. Eric Fetty stepped up and threw great. We had him on the show when he was all of a sudden a useful starter. Austin Voth had some big innings for this team. It really is everybody pulling the rope in the same direction that got him to this spot. Incredible.
The other two homegrown players were the international signings of Robles and Soto from the Dominican. 10 free agents Mike Rizzo brought in, including guys he claimed. Asdrubal Cabrera in season off the scrap heap. More RBI than games played. Kurt Suzuki, better the second time around with the Nats. Better hitter now than he was earlier on. He was on the 2012 team that suffered that devastating loss to the Cardinals. Matt Adams was traded last season, you'll remember, and decided to come back here because he liked this organization so much. 1 year, $9 million for Brian Dozier. Gerardo Parra signed, available midseason after being DFA'd. Fernando Rodney signed off the scrap heap. Patrick Corbin, $140 million. Max Scherzer, $210 million. Anibal Sanchez, $9 million a year. Javi Guerra, another guy signed in season. And then the 8 trades. Trey Turner, Adam Eaton, Howie Kendrick, Yan Gomes, Daniel Hudson, Sean Doolittle, the mainstays, the cores of this entire push acquired via trade. Take a bow, Mike Rizzo. Let's get to Andrew in Gaithersburg on The Fan. Andrew, how you feeling as the Nats are on to the World Series?
Feeling pretty good. And I listen to you guys every day, but I'm loving the 106.7, the Nats. I cannot get enough of this. You guys could broadcast 24/7 if you could stay awake that long.
You're a sweetheart,
sir. Awesome. But yeah, what I actually wanted to touch upon was I was actually in, I guess I wanted to go back to the lowest of lows. I was actually up in New York, back when we were, 19 and 29. I was up in New York. I went
that
to see
series.
A lovely road game.
Oh.
I was, showed up wearing my, road gray, script Washington, Memorial Day game worn Sean Doolittle jersey, which I had him sign. He was kind enough to sign at your event a couple years back, you may recall.
Cool.
And we were cruising along. Eight comes to the eighth inning with, I think we had a 1-0 lead. Turned into a Kyle Bearclaw production, and then they bring in Doolittle. And I'm like, all right, we got this. I think it was, like I said, 1-0 lead, and I think he hit a guy, bases clearing double, home run to Rajai Davis or something like that, and we end up. The streak continues, and I was going to go to the game the next day, the one that ended up making us 19-31 that everybody refers back to, but it was such a depressing loss, and I was getting taunted on the way out of the stadium wearing my Doolittle jersey. Everybody's going, you know, clapping and calling me Doolittle, and yeah. So I just from there to last night, it's just been an unbelievable ride. I guess is just what I want to say, and I don't want the season to end.
You and me both. Here's the beauty of this whole thing: we get 2 more weeks of this group.
That's right.
I love this collection of players so much.
These guys.
I love this team. I want more of this group that hugs after every home run, that dances in the dugout, that has a conga line blowing a whistle in the clubhouse. I have fallen in love with this collection of Nationals. And all I wanted was another game, another week. And now, because they have a week off, We get two more weeks.
Celebrating it. That's absolutely right.
That's a gift. By the way, that Mets series, let's just look back at it really quickly. May 21st to the 23rd were the last three games, but it was a four-game series where they lost 5-3, 6-5, 6-1, and 6-4. That's when they fell to 19-31. That was rock bottom. That's when they wanted the manager fired in this town. That's when they wanted the GM run out of town on a stake. That's when they wanted players traded. And those games, they led in all of them in the late innings, and they imploded one game after another.
And you and I, by the way, sensing that there may be a change coming, went to Nationals Park the next time they were home against the Miami Marlins, thinking that this could happen.
Yeah.
That we both wanted to make sure that we were there to show our faces. Just, this is one of those things that happens where criticism is warranted. This is not going well. This group had gotten everybody back at that point, minus Trey Turner, and was still finding a way to blow games. This was rock bottom. We thought maybe something's going to happen here, so we went.
To their credit, Doolittle, who we had on, Zim, who we had on, Davey, when I talked to him over at the ballpark, Rizzo, they all said the same thing. They all said they'd be fine. Sean's in Bethesda on the fan. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Grant, Danny? So happy to be here because I really love the Nationals' chances in the World Series. I know you guys have gotten a lot of calls from older callers today, but I was just 5 years old. I was five when the Nats moved to D.C., and RFK is the very first stadium I ever remember seeing a baseball game at. So everything this team has been able to do this year has been so special, and I don't need to feel any negative energy going into a series against either the Yankees or the Astros, because no matter what, our starting pitching is going to get some much-needed rest and plenty of time to prepare to go 1-0 in the first game. And a lot of people forget that, you know, every away game that we play, you know, even though we don't have the home field advantage, we get a DH. And we got a very formidable 1-9 hitting lineup.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I feel real good.
You're adding a legit bench in an AL ballpark, whether that's Dozier, whether that's Adams.
Cabrera could be a legit bat.
Yeah, and it could be Cabrera from the left side as well, who could drive in a run. Thanks for the call. It's not something we've talked about or thought about. Let's go to Steve in Silver Spring. What's going on, man?
Gentlemen, hello. Happy day after a week, clinch day.
Day.
I don't know. There was a guy that called into Mike Francesa, you know, who gives the sports any way that he can. And it was an older guy. I remember he cried. And this is before they lost to the Royals in the World Series. And, like, that's, like, I want to cry. I'm not an old man. I'm not from New York. But I was at the game last night with two of my sisters, my fiance, and my dad. And at one point, like, everyone was getting hot dogs. And I walked out, and I just looked at the field. I just walked over right after Valadon threw the first pitch. I looked at the field, and I soaked it in, and I just, like, I was overcome. I cannot – it's amazing. 1931 to where we are, to come back down, you know, 2-1 against the Dodgers, step on the throats of the Cardinals. I mean, when Carpenter was in last night, I was like, this is it. He's going to hit the grand slam. This is going to be the start of the comeback. Like, it all fell apart. But then I remembered the guys we had out there, what they did, where they've come from. And I get chills. I get goosebumps. And it is unbelievable.
Hey, Tommy, I need you to grab that Calma song, by the way, for Cheese. And we'll play that coming in next segment. I know that's his favorite as well.
I mean, I think
Brian Dozier shirtless dancing that all night long, glistening in champagne.
I was, you know, I had a job like everybody else, and I applied. I applied to work for the Nationals. I was like, I'll do anything. I got an interview, and it didn't go very well, and I was going to work at a trailer if it had worked for pittance, and I probably would have been replaced when the new ownership came in, but I just wanted to be a part of it. You know, I went to so many games at RFK, including watching my college teammates start, and I love the guy, with all due respect, should not be starting for a major league team that has designs of competing. All the different memories, and I think of all the different people that were just so desperate for just a team, let alone a good one. Just a team. Just D.C. to have a team. And now they're here. What a journey. Unbelievable.
Here is the World Series, by the way.
That's correct. Thank you.
Here is the last team standing in the National League. I would just like to quickly point out, and I think it's important that we do this. I know we got to get to a quick break, but we have to do this right now. It's very, very significant. The Atlanta Braves are not in the World Series.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. Braves?
The Mets.
Are not
in the World Series.
Mets are not.
The Phillies.
Phillies are.
Are not in the World Series.
Not in the World Series? I want to make sure I got it right. Not?
I'm being told there's breaking news. The Marlins are not in the World Series.
Marlins, we knew that.
The St. Louis Cardinals, their season is over.
St. L-O-U-I-S.
Because of Washington.
I-S.
The Milwaukee Cardinals. Brewers, their season is over.
Milwaukee.
Because of the Nats.
Brewers.
The Cubs. Hold on, let me check really quick. I got to look something up. Nope, it's not the Cubs.
Yeah, no, the Cubs,
the Cubs aren't. Where is the NL team that's in the World Series?
What were the Dodgers? They were great. They're favorites.
Well, hold on. The Reds. You haven't talked. Nope, it's not the Reds.
Not the Reds. Okay.
Certainly not the Pirates. Right. It was the Dodgers because they won 106 games.
Yeah, Dodgers, yep.
They're not going to be beaten. There were seven straight wins to end the year.
Dodgers
Holy jeebies, it's not the Dodgers.
Are not in. I have to
because
put
Because of the
in
Nationals.
There.
So then it's the Diamondbacks.
D-backs
Wait, I'm being
are
told. Torrey Lovello's Diamondbacks, it's not them.
Not in. Okay.
Giants, it wasn't them. Nope. The Rockies weren't any good.
Nope.
Padres carry the two, so there's...
Padres.
Who's left?
Worst record.
The Nationals.
The Nationals.
The Nationals are going to the World Series. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.